I probably am. Should I say it all again? Okay, we're calling the meeting to order of the regular board meeting for Orlama Sanitary District, October 14 at 5 p.m. We'll ask for a roll call, please.
Certainly, Director Simon.
Is it?
Director Dean.
Present.
Secretary Duncan.
Present.
Vice President Lee is absent. And President Young.
I'm here. When we vote on items tonight, Mr. Attorney, do I need to ask for a roll call or just denote the absence? Thank you. All right. Okay, then, while you're eating, we'll ask you to stand. We'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Sunday. All right, now that's for sure. Okay. Moving on to our agenda, I don't see any public online and I don't see any public in the audience. So we'll move on from general public comment and move to the consent calendar, which includes only the minutes from the board meeting of September 23rd. Are any questions about the minutes, comments? If there are none, I would entertain a motion to approve consent.
So moved.
Second by Director Duncan.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Four ayes, one absent. Thank you. Moving to item six, committee authority association reports. Ms. Duncan, are you prepared and ready to do your report on the waste management, stop waste? I'll give you a moment.
Thank you.
Basically, what we did for stop waste was we reviewed again the budget and what we were going to do. But we also reviewed the grant procedure that they have for, what do I say, for all of the agencies in Alameda County. They give grants to, for, let me remember correctly, for equipment. Say, for instance, if you're in an agency and you want to buy a refrigerator or something, a large piece of equipment, they give grants for that. They also give grants for the reuse of flatware. They also give grants for, they are now, you know, for organizations to provide repair services, who also does training to help constituents know how to repair equipment. We reviewed that. And the person that had been working there for 30 years, I can't think of her name, she's retiring this year, so there's some sadness around that. And they're going to streamline the granting process. They get about 100, I think maybe 140 applications, and it's really a laborious process for them to have to go through all of them and screen them. So they're going to develop a pre-screening process where they are going to do some initial intake and find out whether or not the agency who's applying can fit the criteria. It's really a successful program, and they plan on continuing. That was the gist of that meeting. It was a report out, an informational report out.
Thank you very much for your report. Can I just ask, is everybody on the board get the executive director's annual sorry, monthly report from Stopwaste. Are you guys on the website? Are you on the email? I've asked in the past for every member of the board to be on the email.
I don't get it.
Okay, so maybe we can ask again. He does a monthly report.
Very nice.
Yeah, which reports things that are being done by staff members as well as the board. It's very informative, so we'll ask again.
I'd love to get it.
And they also just had their anniversary event. I wasn't able to attend, but I heard it was really successful.
I wasn't invited. I didn't know that.
Oh, didn't. Okay.
Odd that I wouldn't, since I've been on and off the board for 25 years. That's all right. Anyway,
okay.
So thank you for your report. And the only other report on our agenda tonight is the approval of committee minutes for entry to district record, which we often do by a simple motion.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Thank you.
Opposed say no. Motion carries 4 ayes, 1 absent. Thank you very much. We'll move right into new business regarding the change order with SAC on the pipeline rehab influent rehab project.
And everyone thought about what happened exactly, what contributed to the issue, and also steps moving forward to make sure that stuff, something like this doesn't happen again. So right now we're in the middle, we're towards the tail end of a 78-inch influent lining project. The 78-inch pipeline starts at the end of Grant Avenue. It wraps around the northern end of the property towards our headworks, which is our first infrastructure that actually treats wastewater, meaning it's removing contaminants. It's about a 450-foot length of pipe that's 78 inches in diameter, so you can actually walk through the pipe if you wanted to. The project was bid to line the entire pipe. We did a condition assessment of the pipe a little over a year ago with the scuba diver going in during low flows and identifying degradation in the concrete, rebar showing, and so forth. So that's what prompted the project to begin with, to repair the basic and main artery of all the sewage flow going into our plant. So we bid the project, a $3 million budget, and the low bid came in at around $2 million. And that's SAK Construction, who is a very reputable contractor in the industry. We spent about 4 weeks building the bypass system. Since we're going to be interrupting the flow in the main pipeline, the contractor was responsible for essentially bypassing that main pipeline. So you can see out there at the end of Grant, they have a series of very large pumps, sort of equivalent to the pumps that we have in our influent pump station, but not as big because they can't handle wet weather like we can. And fuse a lot of HDPE pipe together to convey all the sewage around the 78-inch influent pipeline. That's the project. And during that bypass, the contractor would clean out the existing 78-inch line and pull in the new liner, which is shown on the right photo there. It's a fabric liner that gets inserted into the pipe. It gets inflated, impregnated with epoxy, and then it goes through a curing process with hot water. So on September 19th, we bypassed the 78-inch pipeline and ran the bypass for 3 days. Didn't see any issues. Second, the contractor the liner, which they did, and then inflated the liner on the 23rd. And during that time, we had some precipitation. And so we had some precipitation during that time during the curing process. So wrong keyboard. So there are six laterals that connect to the 78-inch line. Six lateral is what is tied to our field drainage pump, which is out on the south end of the pump. That pump, it kicks on whenever there's enough rain that hits the ground that fills that wet well. It hits a triggers a flow and kicks on the pump. That pump wasn't locked out. So as a result, what happens is that pump kicked on because we had rain on that Monday or Tuesday, and it basically sent cold rainwater into the sixth lateral, which is the last lateral into the pipeline before it enters our headworks. And it, you're basically filling the top, the outside diameter of the liner with water. And you have the inside filled with hot water. So you get what you see there on that left photo. And I have another photo in the next slide that shows it more prominently. You get this bulge on the top because now you've decreased the temperature of the watt of that liner, and now it can't cure properly. So it stays soft. And so once we pulled out all the water, this is what we noticed when we went and did the final inspection. So the contractor asked, well, they requested, hey, what do you want us, what do you, the district, want us to do now? And that was a Thursday afternoon. And we said, well, we need to do something now because every minute we wait, there's guys standing out there with the bypass system running every single minute. So then that's when you received a call from Bill, informing the board on what we're going to do because we needed to move forward with this. So today is the formal request to approve the change order not to exceed $860,000. And I say not to exceed because there's still a lot of investigation that's happening around this issue, involving what was in the spec, what's in the plans, who's responsible, who's the contractor, does the contractor or the designer have any responsibility in this? And of course, Orloma as well. The left is the installation, a picture of what it looks like when it's being installed, when the pipe's being pulled into the liner is being pulled into the existing pipeline, but the right side is what the liner ended up looking like after we drained the pipe. So we had to essentially cut out that entire section where it sunk, the crown of the pipe sunk down, the liner, not the pipe, the liner, cut it all out and then relined the entire pipe. So I mentioned the project drawings did identify that there is a drainage pump on lateral six, which is the last lateral before it goes to our headworks. But also it says that there's no active gravity flow on that line. So we have six laterals on the line. Three of them have gravity flow, meaning there's constant drainage into that lateral. So we require into the pipeline. So we require the contractor to pick up that flow and bypass the 78-inch line. Therefore, there's no flow entering in the pipe, entering the pipe so that it can't damage the liner during the carrying process. There are three other laterals that state in the design drawings no active flow, meaning it's not a gravity line. It can be controlled, whether it's a valve or a pump. So when staff prepared the system outage request form, which is all required for all projects, when we do a shutdown, with the contractor, we identify exactly what's affected, what needs to be done, the contingency plan if something were to happen. And so then everyone signs off on it. The manager signs off on it, the project manager, the department heads, and the contractor. In this case, we didn't identify lateral six as needing to be shut down. So it wasn't shut down. So it rained. It rained and it kicked on that pump and it started filling the pipeline with cold stormwater. And that's what caused the curing process to not effectively cure and made it really soft and it started sagging. This is what a bypass plan looks like that the contractor submits. You can see it's very detailed. It definitely wasn't without effort that they tried to make sure that they captured every single thing possible that enters into the 78-inch line. This is part of the contractor's submittal, which is reviewed by us and also the engineer on record, which is in this case Hazen and Sawyer, who did the design work. And in the upper box here, it says lateral connection section. It identifies all the six laterals that I spoke about earlier that are in the design drawings. And it also states in there what is to be bypassed and what isn't to be bypassed as noted in the design drawings. And they did not bypass lateral six again because it can be controlled by a pump or a valve.
There's lateral six on this map.
This location.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
And it reads no bypass.
Bypass.
I couldn't read it either.
No bypass needed. Yes, great eyesight.
And so that meant that they didn't need to do anything, and we signed off on this.
Now there is a nugget note in the drawing, which isn't in this presentation because I found out about it afterwards, that states that the contractor is also supposed to put in a temporary plug at all laterals as redundancy. And that, I believe, could have prevented this problem. Whether or not you shut off a pump, in this case, the field drainage pump, which has very low head pressure, even if it did turn on, the plug that was instructed to be put into all six laterals, for number six lateral, would have prevented the pipe, the water from being put into the pipe.
Did it go in two and four?
No.
Or also have no bypass needed?
Correct.
But there was no plug in those?
No plug in those, but then those pumps never turned off. They're not weather dependent.
Okay. Do you want to finish or is there more?
There's only two sides left.
Okay.
This is the table that's on the design drawings. And really, here's the key on this right. It says, is a bypass required? And for laterals 2, 4, and 6, it says no. It also identifies what that lateral serves. In this case, the first, for example, lateral one is the belt filter press drain. We have to run the belt filter presses. There's no stopping it for long periods of time because that's how we dewater our sludge to go to the ponds. So therefore, we tell the contractor, you need to pick up this flow and bypass it around the 78-inch line, which is why it says bypass required, yes, on the right-hand column. Lateral two is a WAS drain. It's the waste-activated sludge drain. That can be controlled because we can just shut off a valve. And so once we turn off the valve, nothing will drain into that pipe. Therefore, we tell the contractor, no, you do not need to bypass the flow because there is no flow to bypass. And same goes down the row. Same concept goes down, yes, no, yes, no. And you can see in this case, the locker room sewer. Yes, you need to bypass that because we have staff to take showers, flush the toilets. So flow can happen anytime during the day or night. So we tell the contractor, you need to pick up that flow and bypass it before it goes into the 78-inch line. And of course, the last one is the field drainage pump out near the secondary clarifiers. We tell them no, because the only way you can get water into that line is if you turn that pump on. There's no inadvertent showers or toilet flushes or anything like that.
Or if it rains.
Or if it rains.
Which you didn't enter the
words out of my mouth.
Basically, it's supposed to be done during dry weather, and we ran into wet weather. So this is what is actually on the design drawing.
What does it say? You don't have that word reference, the redundancy.
That's not in here, but it's in the notes. It's in the drawings. Lessons learned, of course. all the systems and all laterals and system outage requests. And again, as I mentioned, number six was not included. And in addition, the pre-shutdown site walk needs to be conducted to visually confirm that all systems have been identified and properly shut down. We did not do that in this case. So one thing we thought about that could improve this situation, could improve and prevent this in the future, is include an actual system outage request in the design itself. So one thing that the way that the design drawings work now is that we identify all the systems that need to be bypassed or not bypassed. We verify that internally and with the design consultant. So that's why they show up in the drawings. Then we allow the contractor to do their own due diligence and put the SOR form together with our project manager and run that through the pipeline to get signatures on, from everyone so that they can verify that, yes, in this shutdown request, you've identified the lateral or the pump or whatever equipment in question, how we're going to shut it down, what the duration is, when you plan on turning it back on, and what happens if the if you need to skip the activity altogether and you need to turn the pump back on or the valve or whatever it is, whatever the utility is that you're identifying. We're suggesting going forward that we develop those shutdown forms filled out internally and include those in the drawings ahead of time. Because we are already doing the identification and the research during the design phase. So that, in a nutshell, is what happened and what we plan on doing going forward.
Can we start on Director Simon? Do you have comments or questions?
Sure. Well, it's discouraging that it happened. And there's lessons learned, and I know that they will be incorporated. And just for some, you know, background, I've been through this myself personally. I worked 25 years for the Contra Costa Water District, and I did raw water. We took water from the Delta, brought it to our treatment plant, shutdowns, treated water shutdowns, and these things are very complicated. And I've had run-ins like this, not as costly, but I have had run-ins like this. And what came out of it, just like this, these lessons learned, and it was even worse back then. They called them post-mortems, like after-death reviews. Like, we need a better word than that. So that's how kind of grim it was back then. But I do see the importance of your lesson learned of developing these plans during design. Now, that takes more effort. It takes more staff time, and design costs will go up. However, it will prevent these huge costs, potential huge costs later. And what we called them were facility impact plans. And I looked for them on my files at home so I could share them, but I couldn't find one. So I tried. But we went through all these things that we're talking about, and early on, very early on, and we identified them before these issues would happen. So I do believe with these lessons learned, this is not going to happen again. And I do have a question about the contractor required to place a plug, which you say would have prevented all this from happening. Are we planning on going back to the contractor?
I mean, we will.
Okay.
I want to discuss.
Yeah, you can't get into that much detail, but that's good because that was your backup, which I'm glad you had that. So that's good. You did have that backup. And what is the timeline? Is this delay? What is the delay in the project?
It was no more than 2 weeks. So the new liner is in place. It's been cured properly. We have video. We don't have a report, full report yet, but we have a full video of what it looks like now. So it's looks like as it should have looked the first time. So once we go through a final inspection of that pipeline, the contractor still needs to coat the influent box, which is right on the other side of this wall. Once they're done with that box, they'll start dismantling all the bypass systems and get off the site. So I would anticipate another couple of weeks.
Okay, those are my comments. Thank you.
Comments? I got it right. Yes. It'll take me about a year, but I'll get it.
Okay, so the field drain pump connected to lateral six was inadvertently omitted. You mean in all plans, in maps, on just the form, the request form?
It's the SOR.
Okay, so they actually knew about it. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. But it wasn't on their map. It wasn't on this map. And why wasn't it on this map? Because they didn't.
Because in the design plans, we tell the contractor they don't have anything to do. They have nothing to do on that line. It says they're not required to bypass that line. So they don't. They don't have to put a bypass plan together for something that they were telling them they don't have to bypass.
All right. So only 3 and 5 are on here? What? So 2, 4, and 6 aren't even on this design. Ah, okay.
Aren't on the contractor's bypass plan.
And can you talk a little bit more about what this pre-shutdown site walk will look like? Who's going to be on that walk? Like,
so typically you would have the contractor, the construction manager, and the project manager, which usually represents the facility staff as well, walk. So, for example, if you're bypassing a line, how many laterals are on that line? You go and you walk and you physically look at what feeds that line, whether it's a toilet, a sink, a drain, a pump in this case, and you identify exactly, okay, let's shut this down or let's look at your bypass system. Is it in place? If it's in place, let's run it. Let's see if it works. If it works, great. Let's check it off. Let's sign off on it. In this case, on a pump situation, we go to the pump. Okay, this is lateral 6. And I'm using this example. We're about to bypass. Let's look at what can feed into this line. Hey, there's a pump connected to this. Is the pump shut down? In this case, it wasn't because it wasn't checked. If it were to be checked, as you're mentioning in the pre-site walk, we would say, okay, it's not locked out. Let's lock it out. Let's call an operator. Let's come turn off the pump, put a lock on it, standard lockout, tagout procedures. That way we can ensure that it can't turn on. Then we've positively identified the pipe, the equipment, and positively verified that it cannot turn on. And that would be the active site walk that should have taken place, that will take place in the future.
Yeah, I'm just trying to. Okay. I'm just trying to, I guess, understand, I guess, how. Okay, that lateral supposedly wasn't working, but I'm not understanding how come that one wasn't really looked at, even though it's part of our facility. I get it that it wasn't in service or something. Is that correct? It was just overlooked. Do you have any idea how that might have happened? We're not sure.
At the moment, I'm still having active discussions on this.
Okay, well, I like that we're going to do all this stuff. We're going to verify. We're going to document things. We're going to have a walkthrough with all concerned parties. And, okay, I'm just hoping that this is, that we can move forward with this project. Thanks. Thanks, you guys. All right.
Thank you, Director Dean, Director Duncan.
I'm a little confused. How would a walkthrough prevent, if we said that it wasn't a working pump, how would a walkthrough prevent that?
The right questions have to be asked during a walkthrough. And so you would have to have enough people there to be able to say, we need to ensure that no water enters this pipeline. So you look at all the systems in place for each lateral, and you look at, in this case, the pump.
There was no water. There was no active flow going through it. So a walkthrough to me wasn't the answer, because, you know, unless you say, okay, we also need to think about rain, because I'm trying to, because that a walkthrough wouldn't have prevented this. How?
Because the standard of care for work on the bypass is that you do the walkthrough and you identify any means of endangerment to staff or to the system, and you have to lock it out. So, for example, I've done a bypass in the past for the headworks. We identify what's at the headworks, we identify all the lines going into the headworks, and if there's a valve, we shut it off and we put a lock on it, and the contractor puts a lock on it. Now we have positively verified that no one can open that valve to allow anything to go into the system. The pump should have been locked out, is what I'm trying to say. It prevents anything from happening, whether it's raining or not.
And so I guess my question is that standard procedure that all pumps should be locked and tagged out? And if it's standard procedure, how did it? So we didn't follow our own procedures. So it's not really, I won't go there.
It's not a documented procedure. It's a standard of practice if you're running this type of job. This is what you need to do if you're running this kind of job. And that comes with experience. That comes with project management. That comes with knowing what to look for.
Is it also on the other side that the vendor that's doing the work, should they have known also? Yeah. Right, because it's because it shouldn't be dependent on rain. I mean, I don't mean it like that.
The pump should have been locked out because it has a potential for being turned on.
Okay, and so that's what I'm saying. You know, we need to maybe document that standard procedure again, so it's part of the checklist that you're talking about. My other question is, why is it costing so much?
2 weeks, 10 guys on staff, 24 hours a day.
Oh boy. And that's almost $1 million.
Again, we're still debating the hours with them, which is why I needed authority for not to exceed 860,000. I think we can work this down, but I don't have that answer right now. But at the moment, we need to give them direction.
Hey, I get that, and that's why we agreed, you know, individually for Bill to proceed. But it seems to be an awful lot, because I thought the whole project was what, 2 million?
But wasn't it? Didn't we budget it at 3? And then they bid too, so they bid lower than you.
Right, and I understand that. But the other issue I have is, why did we bid it so high? I mean, if it's
budget.
Well, not bid it, I'm thinking.
Well, the engineer's budget, yeah.
Right, why did they forecast it so high and it only came in at 2?
We had bids that were higher than 2.
But one outfit that could do.
We want to be conservative when we put an estimate out, because the minute we don't put enough in the estimate, the next question I'm going to get is, why isn't your estimate high enough? So we always try to estimate conservatively so that we can set the budget properly, so that we don't end up in a situation where we have to come back and ask for more budget. And we also base it on market conditions at the time, which, as you know, can be very unpredictable. Prices of goods can change on the dime. So this estimate was put together 2 years, almost 3 years ago, and when we adopted that budget. And that was the time that we hit record inflation too.
Yeah, you know, my question is
how we're going to recoup the money in our budgets. You know.
Question?
Because we put 3 million aside, we're still out 860. How much is it? $860,000. What's the plan to recoup that?
I know, looking at projects to see if there's anything that can be looking at projects with more critical eyes, see if it needs to be done. In addition, I will be looking at whether or not there's any savings anywhere else on other projects. But until then, this project isn't complete, and there is still a potential that we get some of this money back. And again, I don't have a final answer.
Okay. Those are my questions.
Thank you, Director Duncan. So just to follow on with Director Duncan's comments, so if we authorize this spending tonight, since we've already given permission for the project to go forward, will you hold that in abeyance until you make the decision about whether the contractor is going to be part of it, or are we just going to pay it? Do you follow me?
The idea was that that's the maximum allowed that we would be able to go back to the contractor and pay the change order. And I wasn't planning on bringing it back, but if that's what the board wants.
Oh, no, I didn't ask you to bring it back. I said, will you hold in abeyce the $860,000
yes.
until
anything.
The decision is made.
Correct.
About who owes what and who did
Absolutely.
What and when they did it?
Absolutely.
The only report I want back is what happened, when it occurred. So just a short, even in your weekly or monthly report, just say, here's what happened. Let's move forward.
Absolutely.
All right. So my comments are, first of all, I want to know if we paid that scuba diver a lot of money. took a dive down through the pipeline to begin with. I'm joking. So just.
Does she have that?
You don't have anybody on staff that does that to you. Because if you do, we should give them a nice present. I'm starting to sound like Rita. My second question is, once the bypass is in place, you talked about the timing on the bypass. How long can the bypass be used for this project? I mean, let's assume that it took more than 2 weeks. Is the bypass solid enough to take another month if it had to? You mean like it did yesterday when I chased my cans down the street? Okay. So I wanted to know that. And then the redundancy plugs, they literally, I know we just talked a lot about that. That's would be part of the walkthrough about creating the redundancy. And then, have we ever had anything major like this happen before? And I don't think so in your time. I don't recall if in Jason's time or my time. I don't recall anything in my time either. So I'm sure it's not the first time it's happened in districts, sanitation districts all over the country, but good thing we learned a lot from it, and it'll only make our system better. Okay, is anybody dying to ask one more question? If you're not, yes, Director Simon.
Yeah, just from a staffing perspective, and I know it's probably a sensitive topic, but what was the timing on the design of this? Was this around when Chris Decker passed?
Yes.
Okay.
Charge of the project, and he got passed on to another engineer since he passed.
And then from a budgeting perspective, just one comment, just feedback from a budgeting perspective. As we know, budgeting money costs money. So if we have money sitting on the table, we're not using it, it costs money because we could be investing it and doing other things with it. So my comment would be for estimating, because you mentioned estimating, I'd rather you estimate as accurate as possible. And if you are off, not to beat you up over it, because sometimes we're off, rather than have a bunch of money sitting on the table where we could be investing it later. So my comment would be, because it sounds like that's kind of how you're doing some estimating, is I'd encourage not to do that, because just want to be as efficient as we can from a budgetary standpoint. But I hear what you're saying, but I'd recommend not. Thank you.
Director Duncan.
I don't know if this is going too much into detail, but I'd like to see the itemized cost, because you're saying we are paying 10 guys 24 hours to be on. I mean, can they only work 8 hours? Anyway.
Oh, not for this bypass.
Just that seems just like
Doesn't just to add to what she's asking, does the price also include the cost of the materials?
That's what I
So materials are also included, then that would be
right.
interesting. Yeah, thank you.
That's
Material is $128,000.
Got it. So that's 308.
The equipment to install the material is 86,000. There's rental equipment as well by the contractor is 20,000. Then they have general expenses for 160, which is part overhead. Minor subcontractors for 60. Then they have a whole separate scope for the subcontractor for the bypass itself, because the bypass has to keep running because they have keep it here longer than anticipated. So that total bypass broken down total is 145,000.
So how did we get the 800,000?
All those numbers.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, I thought.
The ball is no.
All right. I guess my other question is so the rental of the equipment is new rental? I mean, if they hadn't finished the project, why are we being charged again for the rental of the equipment? Is it for a longer period of time?
Period of time, exactly.
And then what is it? What is the material? We couldn't reuse it.
You did see the pictures, didn't you?
You're hard.
Poke some
You don't see the quality of the curing process. I would not want to do
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
What.
no.
You know, I know.
In the funk,
take a little look at it here.
When I'm like, come on.
Closer picture.
So what is it? I mean, what is the fabric? Is it plastic?
Once you mix it with epoxy,
Probably full of PFAS.
kind of like fiberglass. I don't know if you're used to
There it
fiberglass.
is, right here. See.
Once you put epoxy on it, it hardens to like super hard
Oh,
fabric.
okay. So, and
You need
there's
those fibers to give you the structural integrity.
pretty PFAS in
I guess I was going to say, and there's no retail value. There's no resale value, huh? Okay, those are my questions. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Maybe you want it.
You're not bringing it to my house.
All right, so
Look at it.
yeah. Oh, this is for another item. Sorry. So I'm looking then for a motion. Oh, I'm sorry. What?
Sorry. Sorry.
What? What are you asking?
Sorry, I was just saying it's crazy that that becomes a hard.
Yeah, it does. That's why I wanted.
This
What
is what I'm looking at. That's a blow up of the one that's screwed up.
But
All
that's why
right,
I
so.
wondered, how come we can't just straighten it out and shake it.
All right, are we looking for an authorization for the GM to execute change order number 2 with SAC Construction in an amount not to exceed $860,016.28 and not a penny more? Motion.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you, Director Duncan. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say no. Motion carries 4 ayes, 1 absent. Thank you very much for your patience. This is a very detailed discussion. All right, we'll move on to item 7.2 for approval of authorization to call for bids for the engineering building remodel. Staff report?
Yes, this is part of the newly adopted private sewer lateral inspection program. Part of the program includes additional staff and 3 additional staff, but 2 of them within engineering, and we need to remodel the engineering building to fit the additional staff in that program as presented and as approved for that remodel inside the engineering building. So we have plans and specs that are ready to go bid, and so today is authorization to call to advertise the job.
Is that an inflated bid?
Next, you took the word.
I don't believe so.
I'm not going to read your mind. Questions of Director Simon, comments, Director Dean, Director Duncan.
Yeah, I do. So I'm not for this project. My question is, when are we going to start recouping the money for this? You know, it was saying that it's only $1 million. And this looks like almost more than, not more than $1 million, but it looks like we almost spent more than almost half of it already. And then it was saying that, it said that it would pay for itself over time.
Question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you said that it would cost, the program is going to cost $1 million. But we would recoup that $1 million. And my question is, when would we start recouping?
We start recouping the day the program rolls out. And I believe the presentation that we gave, I have to go back and look. I believe it was 5 years, but I need to go back and verify that that's what we reported to the board.
So 5 years to recoup the $1 million?
Verified, but we gave a definitive year, a number year that we would get that back, correct? Can you take up my old? Yeah. Patricia's looking.
And my recommendation is, since we're paying all this money out, that we push this out 6 months.
Ray hired an inspector, just for your information, and we had a consultant to help us develop the new ordinance for this program. So we can absolutely complete the ordinance still on it, or we can continue moving forward.
Okay. Since Director Duncan did not support this project to begin with, I'll be looking for a motion from one of you to authorize the call for bids.
So moved.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say no.
No.
That would be 3 ayes, 1 no, 1 absent. Majority carries. Thank you. All righty. You may. Yes.
Just want to say I respect Director Duncan's views, even though I didn't vote in that direction, but I respect her views and appreciate her comments.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on then to item 8, staff and director comments. Director, Attorney Mogg, do you have any comments? Oh, other than you wanted to look at the pictures or whatever it was.
Sure, there's some in the engineering.
Mr. Dang.
Yes, I have 6 items I wanted to brief the board on. The first is that we have signed the contract with Cascadia Waste Audit to take Cascadia, who will perform our solid waste audit that will take place between October 27th and November 7th over at the Davis Street Transfer Station. That's to really see and come up with information on contamination and how that compares to our 2020 audit that we did back then. Also, just kickstarted the local hazard mitigation plan update. This is a plan that was put together about 3 years ago. It expires every 5 years. takes about a year to work on these updates, and this is a prerequisite for any federal grants that we may chase. They always want to know if we have a local hazard mitigation plan. In this case, we partnered with Cache Valley because they didn't have one, or they had one that was super old. I don't recall, but Roland and I worked together, and we're both going to be partnering to get this plan update done, which will include Cache Valley. I'm also working on a presentation for the board that will be presented in the coming months related to cogen alternatives. The board may knows that we supply about 85% of our own energy on site. And we have cogens that have been in service for over 30 years, if not more. So we are looking at technologies that are out there. We have it in the current 10-year plan, I believe in year 8, to replace those cogens. So staff is definitely looking at what's out there, what makes the most sense for the district based on the needs of the treatment plant. I want to report out that I did participate, give a presentation at the Virtual Sewer Summit last Thursday. It was a virtual conference. There was about 300 attendees. And I gave a presentation on the sewer line project and the 40-mile goal. Out of the 300 attendees, 55 attended the session that I gave a talk in. Got some good questions. A lot of it had to do with how to develop a successful program and also our manhole detail related to the pipeline connections. This Saturday, I'm participating in an ADU informational workshop over at the City of San Leandro at the Senior Center. They invited me, they wanted to invite all the participating agencies that have permitting jurisdiction over ADUs to help inform the public on what their permit fees could be and what the process is if you want to build an ADU on your own property. So San Leandro elected to put this workshop together. They invited Alameda County, since they have building permit jurisdiction. They invited us because we have sewer permit jurisdiction, and a couple of other agencies. So that's Saturday at the Senior Center. And then lastly, we have the final event of the year, Orlomas event, participating in the San Lorenzo Village Homes Association Halloween event on October 25th. That's always a joyful event, fun to give out candy to the kids, and just a really positive experience. That's all I have to report. Thank you.
Well, I'm not allowed to ask a question, so I'll wait till the meeting's over and ask you personally. Director Simon, final comments?
Thank you, staff, and our city, or our district attorney, for all your support. And
district attorney,
appreciate
the new title, though. You're the new DA.
My colleagues, thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Director Dean.
I have a couple of comments. And one of them is about our maps that we have for each community that we serve. And once again, I saw there's a lot of confusion, like Saturn Avenue, where we had the spill. It comes up on the map. It comes up as a San Leandro address, but it's actually Castro Valley. That area right along 580 is actually Castro Valley. It's not San Leandro. And so we do serve people in Castro Valley, not only in Five Canyons, but also in the unincorporated urban part of Castro Valley, all along 580 and Foothill Boulevard. So I just want to bring up that there's still so much confusion around that. And it's as an unincorporated person who's been trying to fix this for years, it's just really difficult to see so much of our population considered San Leandro. And we say 40% of our customers are from San Leandro, but it's more like 32%. It's somewhere in that neighborhood. And it's to do with zip codes. And we all know the whole zip code. I hope we know the zip code issue, okay? But the reality is we need maps that are correct. Just like the other day, I was at a meeting and there was a lot of confusion about schools and what schools we serve. And that, I think that we need correct maps that show all of our schools, as well as our HOAs and our trailer parks and things like that, and our biggest customers. So we can just know, you know, who is our customer base, so we can do better public outreach. I think that would be really helpful for our public outreach team to have. Then I wanted to talk about, I went to a great event. I know I talked about this in the other day, but I want to talk about the Ag Day event again at the Meek Estate, and it was absolutely wonderful, and I'm hoping that we can add it to our list for next year. And then my last thing I'd like to talk about is I went to a HASPA meeting again, and I guess I would like some clarity on HASPA, and you know, I know they keep wanting us to join them. And I'd just like to hear more about what our thoughts are about HASPA at some future date. So that's it for tonight. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Director Duncan? Yes?
Something you want a presentation on from the staff, or is that something you want you and I can meet and
can I make a suggestion? If you can find the date that it was thoroughly discussed at this board meeting, give her the tape and let her listen to it, because that will be more definitive, because many of the comments came from this board after Rita attended most of the HASPA early meetings.
There's a tape?
Well, sure, it's a tape of all of our meetings. Oh, we don't have it anymore?
Good for 3 months.
We have the slides and we have the minutes.
Okay, well, if you have that, perhaps that would be helpful for her, because
that would be very helpful.
Because we've plowed this ground a lot.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Mimi.
Thank you.
And they always get the newcomer to try to convince you.
Oh, I know.
For us, I can give you the three answers. Number one.
So, no, you can't. Not now.
I can't. Not authorized.
Oh my God. It's all right. That's why I said you were integral.
I'm like, it's quite okay. God, I forgot what I was going to share. I guess it wasn't that important. A good short meeting. I'm very excited about it. And
Warrior game. Warrior game starts at 7.
Okay, let's get out of here. But no, you know, Jimmy, thank you for the thorough explanation of the major event in our life right now. And I hope you do share with us a plan on how we're going to, we can never recoup the money, but, you know, come up with some savings for the money. And I wish you well, Alex, as you challenge this, okay?
Does Alex have a challenge?
We keep him busy.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that's all I'm... And thank you, my colleagues. And thank you for the accolades. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, I can't think of anything I could say that would make any more difference other than congratulations to the scuba diver. It's been a good meeting. Thank you. It has been short, and thank you for all of your work. Thank you to those of you who are online. We do know that you're there. And have a good evening, the rest of you, and this meeting is adjourned. 6:01. Maybe it's 6:00. It's a 6 on the button.
Yeah,
it's 5:59.
Yeah. The heck did we That's always on.
Oh, how did that go? Yeah.
I went, I'll tell you later. I'll tell you.